This week on the GPP Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter, may the first ignore you? The SEC's new policy is a resounding yes. In an announcement that launched 1,000 legal memos, the SEC has told corporate America that, for this proxy season, it will not be weighing in on requests to exclude shareholder proposals as it has done through no-action letters. It's taking a hands-off approach with some caveats, which generally has been viewed positively by the issuer community, but has nevertheless given the legal and governance community spilkes. Our conclusion is lawyers are usually anxious about something. In a corporate proxy world that continues to move away from progressive proposals, what does this SEC move mean? Certainly that for the most part, it's up to the judgment of issuers and their legal counsel versus getting blessed by the SEC as the referee. We have highlighted a few of the responses below. Freshfields explains that the change effectively funnels companies into a single state law pathway that requires a supporting legal opinion. This option may not be available to all companies, particularly those outside Delaware or where precedent on precatory proposals is still developing. A Simpson-Thatcher memo likewise notes that companies must still notify SEC staff if they intend to omit a proposal but should not expect substantive feedback. Staff may still issue a no-objection letter, but only if the company presents that it has a reasonable basis to exclude, which could make counsel feel more like a guarantor than a drafter. Paul Weiss wrote in its memo, in part, that it should be business as usual for companies, noting that litigation was one of the tools that shareholders still have in this process, especially for companies who might try to use this as a reason to not give sufficient backup as to why the proposal was not included. The memo also looks at additional avenues, including exempt solicitation notices or vote no campaigns that remain arrows in the activism quiver should the need arise. Wachtel wrote, "The SEC's new approach affords public companies a streamlined and efficient approach to excluding proposals that fall short of the relevant requirements and in no way impedes robust engagement with shareholders on governance and other topics of interest to investors." SEC Commissioner Caroline Crenshaw describes the change as a governance Trojan horse in a post on the Harvard Law School Forum on Corporate Governance. The policy, she warns, cloaks itself in neutrality, while potentially offering companies a hall pass and ringing the death knell for corporate governance and shareholder democracy. Ouch. The SEC did not kill the no-action process, but it did significantly narrow its role. Elsewhere, we want to give a shout-out and congratulations to the Reuters Breaking Views team for 25 years of insightful financial commentary. In an impressive distillation of its archive, the team offers a snapshot of what came before, what they thought was coming, and, quite often, insights that have stood the test of time. We look forward to the next 25 years and also highly recommend reading their 25th anniversary book, a captivating read that truly shows how much has changed. Lastly, we will be off next week to savor what matters most, football. No, just kidding. Time with family, food, and gratitude. We hope your holiday is filled with good company and good food and wine. Our recommendation for wines is to try something new, Chenin Blanc, dry, Riesling, or for God's sakes, how about a Gewürztraminer or Blaufränkisch? All good with a Turkey Day meal, in activism news. Chris Hughes of Bloomberg analyzes the implications of Elliott's latest investor letter and the growing scale of its activism. He notes that Elliott's size enables it to pursue larger mega-cap targets and argues that big companies shouldn't be shielded from shareholder engagement due to market cap alone. Axios exclusively reports that Elliott managing partner Jesse Cohn defended the firm's active investing strategies during Axios's BFD event on Tuesday, noting that it pushes companies to perform better. The discussion was a part of a back and forth on active versus passive investing, with Cohn's argument being that the whole premise of our markets were built on the backs of active investors, people actually choosing which companies deserve capital. And finally, Jennifer Hughes of FT Lex cites activism data from our friends at Barclays, noting the increased activism interest in the UK and an expectation of a continued trend in 2025 due to successful prior campaigns at larger UK companies, namely BP, along with well-understood corporate codes and a currently depressed local capital market. In deal news this week, The Wall Street Journal reports that Abbott's acquisition of Cancer Diagnostics, company Exact Science valued Exact Sciences at around $21 billion or $105 a share, and will expand the company's exposure to the cancer screening market. Following a culmination of talks initially occurring in 2017, AkzoNobel announced the acquisition of PaintMaker Axalta to create a business with an estimated enterprise value of about $25 billion, reports Bloomberg. Reuters writes that, in a deal that is expected to close within the next few months, Johnson & Johnson announced the acquisition of privately held drugmaker Halda Therapeutics. The move marks J&J's second major deal of 2025 and comes as part of its push to further grow its presence in the prostate cancer treatment space. On to corporate governance. A new study argues that Delaware premium on fee awards is not deserved, and that options including caps and better data should be considered. This authoritative study by Jessica Erickson, Adam C. Pritchard, and Stephen J. Choi reviewed all derivative and class action cases between 2017 and 2022 and concluded that there is no compelling argument that Delaware law firms deserve such a premium, let alone fees topping $250 million to $350 million. In the latest on Dexit-related news, Coinbase president and COO Emily Choi predicted that activist judges in Delaware could lead to a wave of corporate relocations out of Delaware to other states, such as Nevada, or in Coinbase's case, Texas. The interview was a part of Choi's appearance at Axios's fantastic BFD event in New York this week. In the land of public offerings, The Wall Street Journal shines a light on billionaire investor Bill Ackman sharing a presentation as part of a message on X suggesting that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac should delay any IPO and the Treasury should not sell its shares yet. Bloomberg's Matt Levine also recently highlighted that addressing the firm's capital structures is a key hurdle before they return to public markets. CNBC reports that the crypto exchange Kraken joins Bullish and Gemini Space Station, both of which debuted earlier this year, hinting at renewed interest in crypto-related offerings. No date for the listing has been announced. To wrap up, Bloomberg shares that e-commerce platform Fair announced the kickoff of a so-called tender offer that allows employees to sell their shares, a crucial step on the way to an IPO. The deal, which values the company at around $5.2 billion, is expected to be for about $100 million as a part to set an external valuation and bring on high-quality investors. From our desk to yours, Caribbean cuisine is having its moment in NYC. The latest addition is Kabawa, a Caribbean-themed tasting menu experience overseen by Paul Carmichael, which is part of the David Chang Momofuku Empire. Paul is a native of Barbados, and after working for Momofuku around the world, including a stint in Australia, he has come back to NYC and to his roots. It's a three-course tasting menu for $145, plus optional add-ons, showcasing dishes and spices from Jamaica, Puerto Rico, Guyana, Haiti, and of course, Barbados. Most of the seats are arranged around a square bar where the chefs prepare your meal in front of you. The restaurant, formerly the home of Momofuku Co., is tucked away in a little alleyway called Extra Place near the Bowery. The meal starts with roti and fun spreads to get your taste buds going. For our first course, we had the breadfruit tostin with grilled octopus, as well as plantain with eggs, caviar, and salt cod. For the entree, we had the goat with spicy scallop creole. It was spicy. For dessert, we had the coconut sorbet served in a half-open coconut. Their wine pairing menu includes back bottles from the Momofuku Co. days. Well worth a visit. Next door to Kabawa is Bar Kabawa, a rum-forward spot with Cuban rum for daiquiris, apparently. Daiquiris were birthed in Cuba, a drink called rum and the coconuts, and other delights. A nice 1-2 punch. In People Moves this week, Walmart CEO Doug McMillon will retire effective next year, replaced by the company's head of the U.S. division, John Furner. Jeff Bezos will be co-CEO of a new AI startup project Prometheus, focused on real-world applications, years after stepping down as Amazon CEO. We have two upcoming events to keep on your calendar. December 9th, Bloomberg Activism Forum, New York, NY. February 2-3, WSJ Invest Live, West Palm Beach, FL.